This is On the Other Hand, a podcast sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. Stay with us as we talk to another leader in Arkansas who works across differences to get things done and to bring us closer together. Well, in our first episode with Kathy Webb, some of the interesting things we talked with her about were her experiences growing up as a PK, a preacher's kid, and how those values and what her father taught her led to some of the values and activities that she engages in these days.
I really loved hearing her also talking about the need to actually have political leaders who lead versus being led by their base. So much for people to hear. So stay tuned.
In this next episode, you'll hear several interesting things from Kathy. She talks about some of her hopes and concerns for Arkansas and some of the opportunities for bipartisan work, including the hunger issue that she works so closely with. She also talked about how important it is for people to work as public officials and politicians to follow values, even though sometimes that's difficult in terms of getting reelected. And then she talked about some areas where she feels there's good work being done now across the aisle, locally, including on public safety. And she talks about both the short and long-term approaches to addressing that important issue. And then she finishes up with a really interesting story that involves Tina Turner. So stay tuned.
So one of the things that's helpful, I think, for us to think about is, and you mentioned this as in the relationships that you built when you were in the legislature, finding something in common, having dinner with them, growing as a person and being respectful of their differences. So much of the time, the strong disagreements between our two major parties seem to be in areas where there might have been some bipartisan agreement in the past, thinking about environmental concerns, for example, and civil rights, although that's been certainly something that has not always had bipartisan agreement, but in more recent past it has. I wonder if you might be able to identify an issue or two that currently tends to divide people across party lines. And this could be at the national level or it could be at the local level, but that might offer possibilities for finding common ground, you know, today in our current landscape of politics.
And I'll offer a couple of issues, and some people might disagree, but I'll offer gun control and hunger. And when I think about gun control and I think about the Brady Bill and things that were maybe 20, 30 years ago, and then I fast forward to today, something happened last week. I posted a picture of myself going to a Moms Demand rally, and someone, a friend of mine with whom I disagree strongly on many issues, posted something about taking everybody's gun away. And I didn't respond to that. But I don't want to take everybody's gun away. I don't think most people who support gun control do want to take everybody's gun control away. I think we have to have the message maybe delivered in different ways. And I think we saw after one of the recent shootings in Tennessee, the governor of the state who has not been a big advocate for gun control, said he was going to call a special session because they were going to deal with gun control and they were going to do some things to curb gun violence. So we've ratcheted the noise up so much that I think we have failed to find the common ground, and we've almost lost the common ground. But I don't think that we should give up on that. And then hunger is another issue at the national level. When I look back 20 and 30 years, I think of two champions of anti-hunger programs, and it was Senator Bob Dole, who many people will remember was a Republican nominee for president at one time, and Senator George McGovern, who was a Democratic nominee for president, didn't do too well. But those two men worked together very closely on anti-hunger programs. And I'll give a shout out to Senator Bozeman. He's the ranking member on Senate Ag right now. And the chair of that committee is Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, who is very blue. And they work together very closely on this issue. There's a lot of division among others in Congress on the issue, but Senator Stabenow and Senator Bozeman, I think, are models of how Senator Dole and Senator McGovern worked together these years ago of how it can be done.
They're focusing on things that they, values that they have in common and things that they want to accomplish. The devil's in the details of the policy, of course, but I love those two examples, one from the past and one currently. You mentioned that we've ratcheted the noise up so much. You mentioned that on the gun control issue. And I'm curious, I think to answer this question, both at the individual level, which might be more of how we kind of respond to social media and in our individual conversations, but I'm also interested at the national level, how do we bring that down? How do we, you know, if we've got so much noise going on, how do we bring that down individually? From your perspective and experience, and then maybe you could answer that also at the national level.
As a human being, I've started spending less time on social media, and I have set my controls on my phone. When I hit a certain time, I'm locked out of my social media platforms. Yes, I can click a couple of buttons and go in, override those controls, but I can tell if I'm on Twitter for too long in particular that I can feel my own emotions ramping up, my tribalism, even if you will, kind of ramping up. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for the issue. And so I have restricted myself. And I don't know if we could have some movement where people would do that as well. But social media is good for a lot of things, but I think it's not been healthy for that. And so much of it is also misinformation. Mm. And I can't say that I've never been guilty of retweeting something that I later found out was incorrect. But I feel better because I spend a lot less time on Twitter than I did 5 years ago or 6 years ago. So I think that's one example as an individual. And I think we have to be committed to talking to each other. I have friends, I have a few friends who I disagree with, and we deleted each other from being friends on Facebook because I didn't want to hear that. And I didn't like what they were posting on my pages. But then I started toning down what I posted. I didn't change my values, but I didn't spend all my time trying to get people riled up. If that makes sense. And instead, this one friend in particular, we're still friends, we're not Facebook friends. I organized a trash pickup at one of our city parks, and I got red people and blue people and purple people and I guess periwinkle people. And we all gathered one Saturday morning. And we went out and we cleaned up one of the public parks, and then we had lunch together. So I think we forget that there is a common good. And or at least I think there is a common good. But we have to be intentional, and we have to be, at least for me, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, not spending so much time on social media has been beneficial.
So at the national level, what about the ratcheting? Those are great suggestions individually. Is it just one individual at a time? We just do this citizen by citizen to kind of lower the temperature, or what can we do at the national level?
I think having national conversations is important, but I think asking our national leaders to work together is important. Whenever possible, Senator Bozeman and I work together. We don't agree on everything. We don't agree on everything hunger related, but we do press events together. We always take pictures and post them of us doing something together. And I think that sets a model for other people that you can do this, and it makes a difference. And I will say that Governor Hutchinson was a really good sport. One time I was going to visit him, and he had just been voted best conservative in the Arkansas Times readers poll. And I had just been voted that year best liberal. And I took a sign with me that said working to end hunger and asked him if we could take a picture together and post it and show the best liberal, best conservative working together to end hunger. And he said only if his office could share it too. And so we took the picture, posted it, and I thought I really appreciated that he was willing to speak up and try to bring people together in that regard.
A great example.
That's beautiful. And, you know, I can see in all the stories you tell how you were able to gain so much respect from people across the aisle in the legislature because you're willing to reach out and talk to people different than you, and you make that an ongoing effort. And that's so important to try to find ways to reach across the aisle and to have a relationship with people different than you. I'm sure there are people, we would all agree, there are people on the extremes on either side that it's like, okay, let's not go there. That's probably wasted effort. Let's put our effort into places where it might make a difference. But the other thing I liked about what you had to say, Kathy, it sounds like you're really trying to monitor your emotions. You talked about reducing your time on social media because it got you so emotional. That to me has always struck me as something very important. When we get emotional, we're kind of reverting to our primal parts of our brains, and then we start making bad decisions and we start hearing what we want to hear, and everything that we don't like is, you know, it gets in almost to the fight flight kind of thing. So I really appreciate hearing that from you. And I think that's something more people would do well to work with. Let me ask you about stereotypes. This is drawn from something we do in Braver Angels. There's a whole workshop that we do with Reds and Blues where we have them talk and get to know each other in ways that keeps it kind of safe in between the ditches. One of the things we do is called the stereotypes exercise. And what we do is we just, we ask the Reds as a group and the Blues as a group to decide amongst themselves, what are some stereotypes about your group that are wrong, and what's the reality instead? And then the real trick question comes at the end when you say, what's a kernel of truth that led to that stereotype? So I wonder if you can think of a particular stereotype that Reds may have about Blues such as yourself, and what would be the truth that counters that stereotype, but as well, what is the kernel of truth that might have perpetuated it?
I think that I've seen bumper stickers and heard the comment that you can't be a Christian and a Democrat. And I don't think that's true. I think there are a lot of Democrats who are Christians. There are a lot who are all sorts of other things as well. But I think that's a stereotype that's not true. Speaking as someone who's a member of the LGBTQ community, I think a stereotype that we've heard about lately has been indoctrination. And I don't think that's true at all. So I think those are two examples of stereotypes that I might offer. And I think maybe I think the Democratic Party is a big tent. And I think there's probably data that maybe says fewer people are going to church today than did 20 years ago or whatever the data might say. And if one could call that a kernel of truth, maybe so. But I think in part, a lot of young people that I talk to have been kind of turned off by some of what they hear. And then in terms of the other example, I would argue that there's no such thing as indoctrination by LGBTQ. That's kind of not the way it works. But I think that there's something that's very important to see people who look like you. And because I'm a little bit older than some folks, when I was growing up, there was nobody in any book that I could get from the library that looked like me. There was nobody on TV that looked like me. And if I had seen somebody who looked like me, it might have made some of the struggles that I went through a lot less intense, a lot less hurtful. So while one group says indoctrination, I think it's very important to see people who look like you.
In a way, it sounds like it's not about indoctrination. It's about the people, like, say, gay, lesbian folks growing up start to learn that there's such a thing. There's not anything wrong with you, to in some way normalize it. And I know for some people, they have a problem with the whole idea of normalizing that, you know, and we won't get into the pros and cons. That's for another conversation. But I hear what you're saying. So let me ask you this then. In terms of Arkansas politics, you've been around this for a while, and I'm wondering where you think we're headed in the future politically in Arkansas, because we know right now Arkansas is an extremely red state. We have super majorities of the Republicans and the Reds. Things change over time. It may take a while, but things always change and go back and forth. Where do you think we're headed? What are some of the hopes you have for the future? What are some concerns you have?
If I were not a hopeful person, I would not continue to do what I do and have done for most of my life, because it can be very draining, and oftentimes victories are elusive. But I am always hopeful. And one of the reasons I'm hopeful is that one can look for things that you have in common with other folks. For example, in the area of hunger, we had several bills that were very important this year to those we serve. And the legislature passed one of them unanimously with support from the governor. The other passed by a smaller margin and it was amended. But there was a tremendous amount of education that was done on that issue that I haven't seen in over a decade. So I made the comment to a friend of mine in the legislature early on that, in my opinion, the issue that we were talking about in terms of hunger should be a conservative issue that conservatives promote. I'm not necessarily the best messenger for that, but my friend was, and he did a beautiful job of explaining it to fellow conservatives from his perspective, and he did a lot more than I could have done. So so I am hopeful. I think sometimes we go back, going back to getting into our silos, we only hear the message that we create. And when I sat down and talked to this particular individual, we agreed on the issue. We didn't have exactly the same message about it, but we ended up at the same place when we listen to each other's message, if that makes sense to people who are not involved in the political process.
Yeah, we've had a couple of guests on our podcast who are largely conservative, but may take the stance that you take about hunger or maybe other things. And their argument has always been, this is a family friendly kind of thing. We want to endorse and promote family values, and doing things like that actually are consistent with family values that many conservatives say they believe in.
I mean, last week we had an event at the Hunger Relief Alliance, and we had over 50 legislators who participated in the event. And it was a beautiful event, because if you were not somebody who follows the legislature, you wouldn't have known who was a D, who was an R, and everybody worked together on the event to help hunger across the state. And we'll be going out into pantries in rural areas and pantries in urban areas and working with those same legislators to help people in their district. So I think that kind of event helps bring people together. I want to be the person you call if you have a question about hunger, and I don't care if you're red or blue or purple or what. I want you to call me, and I want us to work together and to come up with solutions.
That's the kind of people we need more of. Yeah.
I love that. I when I think, Kathy, of all the things that you've been talking about today, that's what one of the kind of thread that I see throughout all of your work, but also the comments that you've been making, is that we're focusing on human issues. These are not red or blue issues. And if we can keep focused on human issues and bringing them down to the local level or the national level, if it needs to be, you know, policy change there, then we don't have to worry about if it's blue or red. Part of the struggle that I see, though, is that the base of a particular political party, and to get reelected as a politician, you oftentimes have to come across almost as more extreme. And I am part of this party, I am part of this tribe. And if you look like you've done anything at all to work with the other side, you get criticized. And so I think it would be difficult to be a politician these days. It's wonderful that these people showed up at this without their partisan hats necessarily on. Suggestions for people who are in that arena, in terms of how do you get elected again and yet still work across with people that are different than you?
You know, a lot of people say the first thing you have to do is to get elected. And while, yes, if you want to accomplish certain things, you do have to get elected. But then you have people like Liz Cheney, who made a conscious decision that getting reelected was not the most important thing, that standing up for the values that she felt were nonpartisan was the most important thing. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for her and for what she did. So I think there have to be people like that who are willing to say this transcends getting reelected. It's more important than getting reelected. She's not the only one, and she's not the only one probably in both parties who have said that. I referenced somebody who's running for president in that same party right now who has said, these are my values, this is what I believe, yet I'm going to take on some of the falsehoods that I've heard in the last few years. And if you don't vote for me, that's okay, but I'm still going to stand up, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for that individual. So and I've thought about this a lot, I wish I had an answer and then we wouldn't be on the podcast and we'd all be millionaires. But when do you say, as a political leader like that, I'm going to stand up for what's right, and if I don't get reelected, that's okay. And I think we've seen a few examples of that. And maybe we need to go back and think about John Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage. And I won't use the word demand, but I wish we had more leaders with more political courage who led instead of being led by the base.
You know, I'm reminded now of how many who have served in our military over the years and centuries that have been willing to risk safety or even their own lives for the values that we stand for in this country. And it occurs to me that the same thing should apply to our elected political officials and others, that maybe they should be prepared to make sacrifices, you know, including not being reelected, because the values are so important.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring it down to the local level as we kind of start wrapping up here. And I know we've talked some about Arkansas, but let's think about Central Arkansas in particular. And hunger certainly is something that you have been involved in for many, many years. And I'm curious if there might be, and it may be that issue, and that's fine if it is, if there are one or two important issues in our community, as you've lived here, you've worked with the board of directors, where you think division is strong, but there might be the potential to start to communicate effectively and work to solve problems.
I think one of the issues that we've heard about both nationally and locally in the last few years is public safety. And I think there are a lot of opportunities there to work together. And I think on the Little Rock City Board that we've demonstrated that. We have supported the police by funding a real-time crime center. We have funded other programs that or other equipment and cars and things that the police need, but we also have funded programs that are designed to help our youth and our communities, and taking economic investment into communities that have maybe not had those same opportunities in the past, and youth who are unemployed or underemployed. And so I think we've looked at it more holistically. And I think you have to credit everybody from the mayor to more conservative members of the board who have joined together to, you know, vote on those different programs. So I think that's one issue that's important locally. And then another issue that's important locally, and you can't really divide this along red or blue, I think homelessness is a growing issue. And I think that's something that has to be solved. But local government alone can't solve that. I think it takes state government and federal government. And so oftentimes we've seen a disconnect in states that have maybe a blue city and a red state government not working as well together. So I think we have opportunities to work together at state, local, and federal government, because most of the problems, people live at the local level, but local governments don't have the same resources that other levels of government. And so it takes all of us to solve those problems.
So where would a person even get started, or what would it take to get started on, let's just take the homelessness issue, for example, where you mentioned that you might be in a city like Little Rock that might be more blue, but the state government is more red. Where would you even start as a citizen?
Well, and I think one of the things that a citizen can do is a citizen can volunteer at a homeless group that provides services. But for me, I always move from services to policy. And so if I'm interested in policy, I did meet with people in the legislature last year to talk about homelessness. And so one of the things that we would talk about is, do we have housing? Does our state make it a policy to put money into housing dollars? Do we put money into mental health treatment? Do we put money into addiction treatment? I think that a lot of people go to those two areas and maybe skip over the housing part. But I think we've really got to talk about housing and the lack of affordable housing. We know from studies in other states that a lot of the people who are experiencing homelessness are doing so because of the inability to get affordable housing. So I think citizens can read up on the issue, try to find sources of information that are not from an extreme source, but try to find out something that's factual, and then contact their state legislator, contact their city council member, contact somebody at the federal level, because that housing area, if that's going to come from the federal level and the state level, we can't provide all the housing. So they're getting familiar with an issue. And in the city, their opportunities to serve on Little Rock City boards and commissions. And so there's, for example, a commission on children, youth, and families, and people can apply to be on that commission. Animal Village Advisory Board, whatever your interest, there's something there that you can find as a way to serve. Neighborhood associations. And I'll give you one example if we have time. There was in one of the neighborhoods I represent, there was going to be a reentry facility opening, and the neighborhood didn't want it. But instead of continuing to fight it, they went over and they met with the people who were going to be running the facility. Then they met the women who were going to be living in the facility. And then they developed a clothing closet for the women who were there that had just gotten out of prison. They were going to be looking for jobs. Some of them needed more clothing. And then the women who lived there came and volunteered when we had cleanup days in the community. So we went from a place where there was this tension and this anger to a place of community and working together. We weren't rocket scientists doing this. It took some effort, but it got done, and it completely turned the situation around, and the house became part of the community.
Great story.
Yeah, and it shows the importance of getting lots of our citizens involved. And I think a lot of people are reluctant to do so. They think, well, I can't run for office. I'm not, you know, that good, or I don't want to get involved in that. But you made plenty of points about the various ways in which people can volunteer at fairly, you know, local and low levels where you can make a difference. And so that would be one thing I think is an important message you gave. Encourage people to look for ways they can give back and contribute to the greater good of the community. Along those lines, you know, in our work in Braver Angels here in Arkansas, we're a small group, but we do what we can, and we try to reduce the extreme political polarization. We try to get people to talk to each other, and actually the ultimate idea here is get people to have enough of a relationship to think, well, I may not agree with them on most things, but we found some common ground where we can get something done. So do you have any ideas for us and Braver Angels and what we can do to help in all of this?
I think making people aware that of what you're doing is important, and then letting people know about other opportunities. Like this Sunday, President Clinton's going to be here with the former governor of Maryland, who was a Republican governor named Larry Hogan. And I think they're going to be having a conversation about this very thing. And I hope that we will continue to have conversations, and I can bring other elected officials into the fold, so to speak, with Braver Angels and support the work that you're doing, because I think the work that you're doing is very important. Maybe showing up at some neighborhood meetings. I don't know how many folks you have at this point, But I think we could find opportunities for you all to spread the word. And I know that there are people who would be willing to help you all get out there and spread the word. And I know a few years ago, in some communities, they had a book that the whole community read, and maybe a book that we should all read is, I never thought of it that way. That would certainly start a dialogue.
That's a good point, a citywide project to read that. That was good. And I don't know if you knew, but when she came to town, we interviewed her on the podcast. So there are a couple of episodes out there with her. They're certainly worth listening to. Well, I think we've covered most of the things. Let's kind of wrap up with something of a little different flavor. Do you have anything fun, funny, interesting, some sort of story maybe that you could share with us that you've experienced during your career that people might like to hear about?
And I thought of this recently because Tina Turner just died. And I was a big Tina Turner fan. And when I worked for NOW, one of the opportunities I had was to travel around the country and speak on behalf of the national organization. I was invited to Houston one year where they did things up really big during Gay Pride Month. And Tina Turner was going to perform for the program that they had. And I was in the basketball arena looking at Tina Turner on about 10 jumbotrons, and someone came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're on next." And I'm like, "Oh my God." So I went down to the side of the stage and I'm looking at all these huge Tina Turners and looking out at Tina Turner on stage. And I had to laugh because I thought I could say anything and people would cheer because they're so excited about Tina Turner being out there. So that was my fun Tina Turner story, which has nothing to do with positive change or social change or working together, but it was just kind of a fun story that I've thought about lately with her passing.
That's a cool story. Hopefully it's something that you found as kind of a rewarding aspect of all, because you wouldn't have done that if you hadn't been doing some of the work to get to that point, to get up in that big venue and talk. So good for you. Thanks for sharing that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go, Kathy?
I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I hope that you'll call on me to be of assistance and get the word out.
We will certainly do that.
Well, Kathy, I had never met you before, but I feel like already I've gotten to know you just from being on our program today and all the work that you've done, and so much of what you've talked about is very consistent with our philosophy on this program of reaching across the divides and taking risk and being intentional about that. So thank you for being our guest today. We really enjoyed hearing your thoughts and more about your experiences.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
We hope you enjoyed the second part of today's discussion with Kathy Webb. Be sure to check out the first part of that two-part conversation that we had with Kathy, as well as other podcast episodes of On the Other Hand. And you can find those on many popular podcast sites, as well as the podcast page of the Braver Angels Arkansas website. And that website is arkansas.braverangels.org. Again, that's arkansas.braverangels.org.
And when you visit our website, be sure to provide us any feedback or program or speaker ideas by emailing us at otherhandar@gmail.com.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, Glenn White,
and April Chatham Carpenter,
each do our part to bring our community closer together.